Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Yes, keyword crazy. Welcome to the apocalypse. Today's guest, actually...
I think we should start over. Okay. And I think my lovely, lovely wife...
Uh-huh. Dave, cleansing breath.
Deep cleansing breath, because it's okay. It's just stuff.
Yeah.
Life goes on. If you are where we are right now in the world, things are nutty. And it's okay, because that's part of the life thing that we do. We live. We're going to run into conundrums. We're going to run into difficult and challenge. And I think my wife is, if I may speak on her behalf for just a wee moment...
Careful.
No, I'm totally careful. No, I'm not saying you don't have every justification. I'm just saying, because we're on a show. We're talking about love, which is about as calming as it gets. I may get beat up later, but so it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. We're going to take
This is good. What we have is good.
Yeah, no.
So, everything else is insane, but this is good. Thank goodness.
Right. So we're just... Anyway, we do have a guest today. I was prepared. I thought that wasn't going to happen, but we had Carol Allen on a number of months ago.
She was our first guest.
Knocked
it out of the park.
And she's wonderful and interesting and super crazy smart, has like her finger on a pulse of astrology that I think very, very few do, and gave us some insights. And so since we had such a regrettable 2020, we're hoping... We want to speak to the manager. We want to redo, and we want some insights.
We want a refund, and we want to buy better this year.
We want to double our our great many feelings back, and I'm hoping that 2021 will allow more love and levity into the universe. But we don't know what we get because the stars align in a really complex way. But so do we jump in, or do we have our little moment?
Okay, this country is insane today, and I'll be asking Carol about that and find out which planet is to blame, which is, by the way, what I love about astrology is two things. There's always some celestial body outside of myself that I can blame for what I don't like, and it moves and things change, which I find supremely comforting. A word about Carol is I met her in 92, after my yoga instructor recommended a Vedic astrologer who looked at my chart and told me that love would always be very difficult for me and I probably would never get married. And talking to somebody like me, that's like saying...
That is not good.
Why bother living?
That is not good at all.
Because Carol will explain, because I'm queuing it up for her, that my chart shows that I am... crazy obsessed with love from birth. And in 92, I was it, no, I've got my decade wrong. 2002, sorry, 2002. Condemned to a lifelong spinsterhood by this Vedic astrologer. And then I'm sitting next to this bubbly blonde at a networking dinner who's also a Vedic astrologer.
And she's bubbly.
Very bubbly.
And she's more bubbly than Carol.
It would be hard to find. She had a very different perspective. And 25 weddings into 100 weddings, I would say that Carol's perspective that I will have excess marriage wins. So with that, let's bring Carol into the room.
And I think we need to unmute her.
Yeah.
And bring her in.
Yeah, Doug, can we please bring Carol in?
But that is a good plug for BBS Radio.
Yes.
That's what we're rooting for.
This show is brought to you by BBS Radio TV.
Yes.
And you'll be able to, Doug, can you please bring in Carol?
Well, we can unmute Carol. I think we can probably do that.
We can ask to unmute Carol. But
yes.
We only, it's like enlightenment. It comes from within. Doug? Hello, Doug?
Oh, I think we need to have Carol unmute herself, and then we can start.
No.
The,
oh, no.
Oh, wait, there she is.
And we're supposed to be in, okay.
We'll work on it. How are you, Carol?
Oh my gosh. I mean, wow, what a day. I'm good. I'm super grateful. I'm very lucky. I mean, we're here at the epicenter of the world for COVID. It's a very scary, sad, terrible time. And we live in the most beautiful, amazing place in the world. And so I'm like constantly grateful and constantly anxious. So that's how I am, grateful and anxious, but happy to be here.
I'm so glad that you are. And so I guess, I mean, do we jump right into the kerfuffle that is starting off our new year?
Let's start with, so Carol, why did 2020 suck?
Oh yeah, no, that's a great question.
Why did 2020 suck? Okay, well, so when you're looking at the chart of a year, what you do is, if you're looking at, say you live in America, like we do, right? You construct a chart at exactly after the clock strikes New Year's Day. So January 1, 2020 at midnight, you know, 12:01, 1 second after midnight in Washington, D.C., you use the capital of a country and the chart of that moment. I don't know how this works. I don't know why this works. Tells the story of the year. So here is the chart of 2020. You guys can't see it, but the thing that's so incredible is it literally has six planets in the fourth house. And the fourth house is home. And it connects the ruling planet of the whole chart to the fourth house, the 10th house, which is career, to the fourth house, the fifth house, which is school, to the fourth house, on and on and on. So what did we all do in 2020? Stayed home, went to school at home, worked from home, went on vacation at home. Like, it was the year of being home, right? And the emotional theme of a year, or the emotional focus of a year, is always indicated by the moon, by the sign of the moon, the house of the moon, the constellation of the moon. The moon was in the sixth house. It was one of the only things not in the fourth house. The sixth house, hello, is disease and health. Okay, so what were we all thinking about in 2021, 2020, obsessed about? What dominated the world, what took over the news? Health and disease. Then the moon was in a constellation called Shatabisha. This is unique to Vedic astrology. And this constellation is symbolized by 100 physicians. And it is said that when a chart has the moon in Shatabisha, there will be a problem that requires 100 physicians, a problem so great, you can't just have like one doctor solve it. You have to have tons of doctors solve it. And what we saw in 2020 was this unbelievable sharing of science and open sharing between countries, between cultures. And then Shatabisha, the whole goal of Shatabisha is to rid the world of problems. So what happened by the end of the year was a lot of treatments, more than one vaccine. You know, we started to rid the world of the problems that we have. So quite incredible, I have to say. This chart, like when I first looked at it, I was like, oh my God, there you have it. Like, there it is. Crazy.
So that leads us to 2021. Yeah.
I was going to say, is there anybody in the cosmos we could fire to get rid of 2020? And then I realized, oh, right. But I digress. But please, let's, I'm looking for some other house that I can't pronounce that has good okay. news.
Okay. Yeah, to please don't tell us that August okay. brings an asteroid to the planet or something.
No. Okay. We don't want that. We have to take the long view here, people.
Totally. Absolutely.
So, yes. So 2021 also has the ruling planet of the chart and the sun in the fourth house again, which is still a lot of sheltering in place, a lot of being at home. However, that is all. There's not six planets there. There's just two, the sun, not really actually a planet, but we call it that for shorthand. And then Mercury. The thing oh. that's so much better in this 2021 chart, which you can't really see, but the thing that's so much better is it has the moon in the 11th house. And again, the moon sign and the moon constellation and the moon house is the emotional theme of the year. Well, what is the 11th house? Is it disease and health? Is it like hard work and struggle, which I didn't even mention is what the 6th house is? Is it things starting hard but getting better slowly? No, the 11th house is groups, friends, and organizations. It's mingling. It's mixing and mingling. Now, I want to say, though, it is in a constellation ruled by Saturn. And Saturn says things start hard and things get better with time. And when the moon and Saturn are involved in any way, it is still too a little lonely and too a little serious. But for the moon to be in the 11th house is saying ultimately this will be a happy year. And we will be with friends and we will be with our groups and our organizations again. And so I think we have a lot to be hopeful about. There's more important than what sign things are in or what are called yogas. And the yogas are the combinations formed between the planet signs and houses. And there are such difficult yogas in the 2020 chart. And there are such difficult yogas in the inaugural chart back in 2017, January, of Donald Trump, which is part of why he became president at a very karmically intense time, whether you love him or hate him. And you and I are all on the same page about that, right? I don't think anyone had an easy time being any kind of a leader of anything with COVID around, right? And so the good news about 2021 and the next 4 years is that the inaugural chart of Biden and Harris is also a much better chart. It's also a much more positive, more proactive, more capable of making things happen and making things be resolved. So I really do think there is a lot of reason to be hopeful. Now, I'm a love girl. I've been obsessed with love my whole life too, just like you, Morgana. My mother said I flirted as a baby. I treated men differently than women. I would bat my eyes at men. Like, how sad is that, right? It was very clear from day one I was heterosexual and a hopeless romantic, right? So anyway, the thing that's kind of a bummer in both the chart of 2020 and 2021 is indications around love and romance and marriage and relationships are really hard in both. In any chart, the 7th house is other people, it's allies, it's partnership, it's marriage. So, of course, we saw a 34% increase in divorce in 2020. Weddings, of course, went way down. I'm also a love coach, and I have so many clients that don't even want to date right now, right? Because it's scary. How do you kiss someone? How do you get up close and personal, so to speak? So, unfortunately, the chart of 2021 also, the 7th house is the weakest. The planet of marriage is debilitated. Venus, which is romance, is being eclipsed by one of the eclipse points. So I do think, I think it is more a year of friendship and groups and organizations, but I also think the economy is going to be fine. I think people are going to start to be able to grow whatever they're doing again. And so, yeah. And, you know, there's the collective karma and then there's all of our individual. And, you know, you and I, we all know a lot of people that actually loved 2020. I know a lot of people that were so grateful for the pause and the slowdown, and it helped them focus again on what really mattered. It helped them really look to their dreams that maybe they haven't given enough time to. We all got a big wake-up call, right? that, to quote Hamilton, tomorrow isn't promised and every day is a gift. And today, to quote Hamilton, history has its eyes on us, right? So, you know, just because things on the world level are still not quite where we want them to be, there's all our individual charts and our individual destinies. And I know people who made great money last year. I have two clients that got married last month. I have two clients that got engaged on Christmas. Like, you can't stop love and you can't stop success if it's meant for you. So I just want to say to everyone listening, even though I've still got some heavy stuff to say about this year, you know, if your heart is feeling called to look for love or go for a dream, please do. And the collective does get better and better as the year goes on.
Can I ask you, and yeah, by the way, that sounds great, and it makes complete sense. And can I ask you a question? Because you said that Mercury was in the fourth house, which is home, correct?
Yes.
And so when I hear Mercury, I think of sort of like an intellectual sort of
yes,
place.
Yes.
And so when I hear that in this sort of like in the house of home, I kind of think of almost like a PTSD kind of thing. Like, in other words, we're going to stay close to home on an intellectual level, because I think to some degree, a great many people have been sort of have taken their hits in 2020. Is that?
Well, the other thing, though, you know, yes, absolutely. I totally agree. And the other thing that's uniquely happening now that's historic is Jupiter and Saturn are in the same sign, which happens every 20 years, but they haven't been in the same sign in Capricorn since 1960. And when Jupiter and Saturn are together in the same sign, there's tremendous transformation around what that sign is about. Well, Capricorn, and this, by the way, is according to Vedic astrology. So these are different calculations than what Western astrology says. For any of you that are confused and are like, wait, Capricorn? No, they're not. I'm talking about Vedic astrology. And Capricorn is the sign of work. And what was the big transformation in 2020? The way we work. So many people found out, oh my gosh, my job can be done from home. I don't have to commute. I don't have to dress up every day. I don't have to sit in some dry, airless office with a bunch of people I don't necessarily want to be with, right? And I definitely think, you know, Mercury is work. Mercury is commerce. And I think even if COVID magically did disappear, right, tomorrow, I do think a lot of people would still work from home, or at least incorporate more work from home. And I think we have had a transformation that is going to continue forward around the way we all work. And I know a lot of people that love that and are glad for that. And a lot of parents that love that, a lot of, you know, couples that love that. So that's what Mercury in the fourth house is also about.
It'll be better when it's by choice. Like you know, we were already working at home. And
right,
I think some couples like to work at home together and some don't. It'll be
right.
It'll be better when it's choice. About what you were saying about love in 2020,
yeah,
the way I interpret that is if you're out there and you're feeling frustrated in 2021, it's not your fault. Again, it's the planets, and that will change. And maybe this is the year to work on your mission to save the world or work on your personal development, but you get kind of a get out of jail free card because it's not your fault.
Well, and, you know, I will say, in my experience, people love having a get out of jail free card to not make the effort, right? And to look to something outside of themselves to blame it on. And what I love about astrology is exactly that. I love saying to people, you didn't fail here. This couldn't have been different, right? Or you didn't fail here. The weather just didn't support the growth of that thing. But I want to say to people that really want love, you know, the people really looking for it now really want it. This is not a hookup time. This is not a casual sex time. This is not a just meet up and meet a lot of people and blow through opportunities kind of time. And so, you know, what I think a lot of singles have really found is that they're lonelier than ever. Mm. And I have so many clients that have said to me, you know, it was easy to distract myself before. It was easy to be single when I could travel and I could go out to dinner parties all the time and I could see friends. But now there's like this unbelievable apparent like loneliness and obvious space in my life that I don't want to have this be the way my life is, right? And so for anyone thinking, you know, oh, that's just me that feels like that. Imagine if you're pursuing love and that's how a lot of people are feeling about it more than ever. And this is exactly the high season, by the way, for love, you know, just like it's the high season for weight loss, right? You know, the year turns and people go, this is my year, damn it. And they're really motivated in the beginning. And of course, with Valentine's Day coming. So it's, if you're going to try, try now, I would say.
Well, we even heard from a mutual friend who has like, kind of, he was dating all the pretty girls. And now he wants a serious relationship.
Exactly.
I spoke with a client and just mirrored what you were discussing, because I think he's a young guy, and I think he has ideas that this would somehow be great to really just sort of play the field and some. But I mean, I think there's a measure of wishful thinking, and then there's sort of like the reality of, well, what's your plan? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you expect to accomplish this in a safe way? And what,
right?
Who is showing up on your door in this sort of plan that
like
you're developing?
Right.
And it is. I think a lot of this stuff is about how do we kind of connect our mindset to what's the limitation of what's happening around us.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes it's nice to have the idea of I want to push a square peg into a round hole. And then there's just the reality of how does this work?
Right.
And I don't think you can, you know, I think, well, listen, we are an ingenious species that can justify anything. So,
well, you can buy for $500, you can buy a 30-test kit, apparently, that you can get the answers in 10 minutes. It's a home test that you can swab yourself, swab your neighbor, swab your date, you know. So these things are going to be more and more possible. It's just today, it's not really very possible. Right.
Well, I think it has to do with the idea of consciousness.
Yeah.
How do you go out into the world and just sort of like flow with it endlessly? Do you know what I mean? And what does that look like in your life? So do you have any sort of suggestions of how people sort of interact, meet? Because as you said, life and love move forward.
Yes. You can't stop love and you can't stop life. Well, I mean, an obvious way, of course, is through the dating apps and the internet, how you two met, right? What?
Yeah. Totally works.
That's an obvious way. And then, of course, your first date is a Zoom date or an iPhone, you know, date, FaceTime, whatever. And then if that goes well, have a little socially distanced hike or picnic. And if that goes well, I mean, I have a client, she just fell in love with a guy in Canada, and they did the Zoom date, they did the socially distanced dates, and then they both said, okay, I'm going to quarantine for 7 days, and then I'm going to get a test, and when it's negative, I'm going to come over and molest you, okay? So, you know, I mean, that is the CDC guideline. If you go 7 days without symptoms, and then you get a no test, you are COVID-free, right? And they both did that, and they're having such a wonderful time. That, you know, you do that for a while, wonderful dates for a while, that then, you know, what COVID has done with new relationships is it's accelerated them. So people are moving in a lot more quickly, or they're sheltering at home together a lot more quickly. And that can be both a good thing and a not good thing, right? Because it can make you skip stages of relationship. But it's better than nothing, right? Like, if it's a calling in your heart. Now, if it's not, then I'm with Morgana. Like, work on your dream projects this year. Work on something else near and dear to your heart. Yeah.
Well, to be ready, because you know that I've been like love obsessed from the moment I left the womb. I think it makes the life man. The richest thing. Yeah.
I'm incredibly lucky.
Yeah, because you don't want it. You don't just want like a beautiful partner, right? And a successful partner and a loving partner. You want a partner that prioritizes relationships, right? You want a relationship-oriented partner. That's like half the battle. That person is going to really show up. And not just because they like you so much, but because this matters to them. This part of life matters to them. I always tell a terrible joke that if I died, my husband would have a really big cry and then he would take a date to the funeral and move her in, because that's what he does, right? Like, he always was in relationship before me, and of course he would be that way after me. And is that so wrong? No. I mean, he came really pre-trained and pre-qualified, and I benefited from him really prioritizing this part of his life.
And I think, by the way, I totally identify with that. I'm not rooting for anything like that to happen, to happen to anybody. But I think one of the lessons that I learned from my own failures is that at some point you have to hold the relationship sacred. And it's like anything else that has to be nurtured. It has to be focused on. It has to be a priority.
Yes.
That you make it work. In other words, I think what's happened is for many people, and I speak to a lot of people as well, is that I think it's like, if I don't feel right, then I can say goodbye to the relationship easily. Mm-hmm. And I think people do that, but I don't actually think it serves the longevity of what the relationship is intended to be. I remember a dear friend of mine saying, do you want to have one experience with 1,000 women, or do you want 1,000 experiences with one? Mm-hmm. And for me, there's no question. I understand the allure of, you know, this variety of life. I totally get that. But I sort of appreciate sort of like what the depth can bring in terms of that big picture.
Beautiful. And yeah. When you said something gorgeous, you said that to you, relationships are sacred or holy, right? And a lot of people are more transactional. And that's when you get to, well, is this working for me? Am I happy, right? When that's your reference point, the am I happy reference point, that's not very elevating, right? If your reference point is more, okay, this is a sacred, God-given, holy thing, how can I show up with that level of integrity and that level of goodwill and that level of heart and generosity? And in doing that, become happy, right? Because when we show up at that level, first of all, the other person will always follow your lead, right? And relationship studies have proven this. We always match whatever the first person's doing, right? So if you start a conversation harsh, the other person's going to respond harsh. Most of the time. And then you're going to stay in that harsh zone. But if you're elevating and showing up as though this is a holy, sacred dance, the other person's going to really appreciate that and respond in kind if they're healthy and if that is a relationship that's supposed to be. But if you show up that way and they don't, and you're knocking yourself out and they're not, and you're not happy and you're not happy and you're not happy, please don't say, well, I have to stay because it's holy. No, cut and run. But you got to give it that, you know, that effort.
Yeah, no, I think for me, the magic word is reciprocity. And it's exactly the dynamic that you described. If I bring something positive to the relationship, even if I'm not feeling it, matter of fact, especially if I'm not feeling it, you know, another friend of mine, talked about love as an action, and that action is service. And it really, for me, sort of bridges that gap of where do I fit in my life's purpose? Because I want to be happy. I like that idea of happiness, but I think I find when I am content and I'm sort of like feeding a much bigger picture of what my life is to be about, all of a sudden happiness gets ticked. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm shooting beyond just sort of like my momentary joy, right? My appreciation of happiness in a particular movie.
Your new guitar.
My new guitar. And I'm not discounting, actually. Actually, it was a new guitar and a bass.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. But that is a total.
Dancing was good to someone. Hanukkah Harry, very good to someone.
Yeah, no, that is... That is my momentary thing. But of course, matter of fact, to use that analogy, the trick would be is if the guitar sits in a corner and I don't play it and I don't improve, then it just becomes a beautiful ornament. And that's not the goal of the relationship. The goal of the relationship is to play beautiful music. And that only improves when you are dedicated to that instrument.
Right.
More the bigger picture.
Well, love is a verb, you know, so well, and it's really sad, you know, with that divorce rate that's gone so up, because first of all, they have found that it's especially new marriages that are failing at this time. So you can imagine like being in the bloom of new love and getting married and you think, oh, it's gonna be so great, and then suddenly you're like totally stuck all day every day with this person, right? And that's hard on a new relationship. So those are the bulk of people divorcing. And then people who really shouldn't be together, right? But they've been...
They're well-intentioned.
Again, distract. Yeah. You know, like I have a friend breaking up right now, divorcing. And he's never gotten his needs met. He's never felt loved. And in 16 years, you know, it's been a deprivation marriage, and COVID came along and said, guess what? You can't get your needs met elsewhere. And now you're really miserable. Right. And I have another set of friends, totally mismatched, you know, really a broken marriage for 30 years. And he's been on the couch for like 4 months. And so in those two cases, I'm like, thank God, it was very much time to just accept life on life's terms and quit forcing the river, so to speak, and to finally surrender to the truth that these are not marriages. That is not a marriage, right? To be deprived, never get your needs met, always be disappointed. It's like you know this saying, Devin, it's like always going to the hardware store looking for milk, right? And so those marriages got harder under COVID, and they should have. But happy ones like you guys got happier, right?
Yeah, we're okay. That's the one thing. I mean, in just my personal relationship, like that's the one thing that's been a non-issue for the most part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
And so
I totally know.
Yeah. And so that part's, but again, I still have to be conscious of the fact that I may be completely horrified with what's happening in the world, but it's not my job to bring that to my wife. My job is to be conscious of what she needs, how I can be of service to her, and to make sure that she knows that she's loved, special, and that she's on solid ground with me.
Yeah. Well, and how lucky you have each other. You know, I heard Chris Rock was on the Sunday morning show on Sunday. He's so funny. And he said hilarious. About his married friends, he goes, even my miserable married friends, they say to me, I hate her, but I'm so glad she's here. He said, it is so much harder to be single now. So anyway, everyone's journey is their journey. Everyone's timing is their timing. I always so appreciate, Morgana, that you share your story about the other astrologer and what I was able to see for you. You know, I have to say Vedic astrology, which is the system of India, is astonishingly predictive. And I have colleagues that predicted COVID, and they predicted it a year in advance, 2 years in advance. I have a colleague who 10 years prior to 2020, in 2010, his mentor held a conference to discuss the world-changing global events of 2020. 10 years in advance, they had a whole conference on the astrology of 2020. This was a world-changing, game-changing year. I mean, we didn't even talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter happened. You know, we saw all this really... revolution in 2020. We really did. And right, you know, there was also a Christmas star right before Christmas, Jupiter and Saturn. There was a great conjunction, it was called.
Right.
They came together in a way they haven't in over 800 years, where they looked like one bright shining star. It was really beautiful. And when that happens, first of all, whenever that happens, whenever Jupiter and Saturn come together within months of a presidential election, the party in power loses. Isn't that amazing? So that's part of why I had a lot of colleagues saying Biden would win. And Saturn rules like the rule of law. Saturn is like the rules. Saturn is the planet of like being conservative, doing things the way they've always been done. Jupiter is the planet of like, let's think big, let's buck the system, let's go for it, let's dream it up. And when they're together, when they come together, there's a rule that they go into what's called planetary war and that Saturn wins. So this is part of why when Trump was saying, no, this is wrong. And he was trying to do things that have never been done. And he was trying to buck the rules. And he was trying to get like this state to overturn their results and this state not to ratify and this state to do like a revote. And that, you know, he was trying to go around the rules and implement new rules. And he was trying to say like, who cares the way it's always been done? Let's do it a different way. And even judges he appointed who are very conservative, what did they do? They acted very conservatively. They acted like Saturn judges. And they said, no, we have to dot every I, cross every T, follow the rule book. And the rule book says no. And so Saturn won. And super interesting.
Especially since Saturn gets a rap for being such a bad guy, but Saturn is kind of being a stabilizing, protective force right now.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything in life without Saturn, but it is, when Saturn's working against you, it's, you know, doors slam, you have to work really hard, you get a lot of disappointments. So in Trump's chart right now, he's in a Saturn period, and Saturn's in his house of loss, and his 12th house, which is loss and isolation, and betrayal, and oh, by the way, places of retreat, like hospitals and prisons. He got COVID under this Saturn energy, and a lot of people think he might go to jail, who knows? So Saturn right now is working against him, right? So, you know, they say Saturn takes the most away, but when it's working for you, he's also the giver of the greatest boons. So just
I met Devin and got married to Devin in the middle of like this epic triple Saturn thing that you told me I was in. What was that called?
I don't know. Let me look. Oh, were you in your cycle of Saturn?
It was like three in a row, and I was smack in the middle of.
So I have a question that may be technical, but it's also a convoluted shout out to the predictive ability of the Vedic astrology system.
Because I've asked your wife, what year was that, Morgana?
I met Devin August 2012.
Okay. So yeah, you were in a Venus-Saturn period, but guess what? For Libra rising, Venus is the ruling planet, so this was like your time to shine, and Venus is the planet of love and marriage, and for Libra rising, Saturn is what's called the Raja Yoga planet. This is the royal status planet. This is the planet that is like your best, and Venus is marriage and Saturn is commitment. So there you go. So that was cool. That worked out. So what was your question, Devin? Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's quite all right. So I've heard all kinds of predictive astrology during the course of my life. I'm sure a great many people have. And it seems as though the Vedic stuff that I've heard, which is limited, and maybe it's just your unique genius. What do you have an opinion on why the Vedic astrology sort of lends itself so accurately towards prediction? Because I think if you were to ask me, and I've studied a skosh of astrology, so this is my ignorance. My ignorance is that it would seem that predictive astrology is the most difficult aspect of it. In other words, we could say, I'm the Gemini with Libra rising. And then we could have a conversation, and many of the conversations might be similar. However, it does appear that the Vedic angle has a stronger foothold in the predictive element than other forms do. And I'm just curious. Have I asked too much of a question?
No, you haven't. Okay, well, we could do a whole hour on this. And there are some brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Western astrologers, I am here to tell you. And the tragedy of Western astrology is that all their first writings, all their greatest manuscripts were lost in the fires, the great fires in the ancient city of Alexandria. The Library of Alexandria was where Ptolemy, who's the father of Western astrology, all his books were there. And that was back in the day where you wrote a book, there was one copy, right? And so a lot of their wisdom was lost over the years. In the Middle Ages, the church tried to stamp any sort of self-knowledge technology out. So whether it was herbalism, palmistry, numerology, tarot, all of these things were called demonic. Right. And so they did a lot of book burning in the Middle Ages and a lot of astrologer burning back in the day. So by the 1800s, you could not find a Western astrology book in its own language. And you could only find like third translations. And most of the books were gone. So they had to sort of cobble together a little bit from Persian astrology, Egyptian astrology, you know. So apparently at one time, they had this treasure trove of wisdom that has been lost. None of that ever happened in India. This is actually integrated with their main religion, which is Hinduism. Having knowledge of your chart is considered a blessing from God. Your chart is considered God's wish for your life, like the map of your divine design. And the Himalayas largely protected India from a lot of the disruption of culture and war and, you know, upheaval and chaos that happened in Egypt, Babylonia, Mesopotamia, you know, Middle East, blah, blah, blah. So what all my mentors and teachers have told me is that when they started as Western astrologers, because we're here in the West, and then they found Vedic astrology, they said they just couldn't believe how much more technique there was, how much more data. It was like having so much more software on a computer and then asking that computer to do certain things that you just couldn't do with the Western system. I mean, they said they could do great stuff with personality, great stuff with, you know, certain things, big events. But when it came to like day in, day out predictive stuff, they just said it was just night and day. I mean, one of my teachers said it was like going from high school to getting a PhD at MIT, you know, So it also makes Vedic astrology a lot more complicated, a lot more challenging. So
I think you told me Sunday that there was going to be a lot of conflict today and tomorrow and things would settle down on the 8th.
Yeah.
I'm holding you to that.
Okay. Well, you know, Mars and Saturn are exactly squaring right now. And that creates a lot of hostility. Those are the planets of war when they come together. And they're exactly like the same degree on signs that square each other, which builds up a lot of tension. And then what happened today is the moon comes along and squares them. And, you know, when you get the moon or the sun involved in these combos, that's when things get activated. So, yeah. And, you know, I don't think, I mean, again, I like the inaugural chart far better for the next president, and the inaugural chart of Joe and Kamala has Mars and Saturn together in the sign of Aries in the first house, Mars and the moon in Aries squared by Saturn. And so there's going to be hostility throughout this next presidency. And of course there is. I mean, we have a real division going on in this country, and Trump basically said, you know, that it was okay to come from the lower part of our nature, that it was okay. And he said today that he loved the protesters, that he loved them, right? these people like putting bombs all over the Capitol and rushing in with guns. These are illegal actions that cost at least one person their life. And he told them he loved them. So, you know, we have a president that has been inciting violence even before the election started. He's been banging this drum that it was going to be stolen. And he told everybody, you know, he threw down the gauntlet as early as last night. So this is what you get. And so I don't mean to suggest like it's all going to be gumdrops and roses going forward, but there's reason to be hopeful and reason to be to have some optimism. And by the way, protesters stormed the Capitol in Germany today too. Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, with Trump flags. Yeah. So what happens in the US doesn't just affect the US, obviously. It creates a ripple effect around the world. And but everyone stay safe, stay home.
And it does get better.
Yes, it does get better, especially as the year goes on. And then I do want to say the US chart is unbelievably protected and strong, which is part of why we've been an unbelievably strong country. You know, it's very, very, very protected. And when 9/11 happened, I had a colleague in India that predicted it a year in advance to within 3 days. She said around September 14th, there would be terrorism in the United States and a great deal of loss of life through air travel. Swear to God. And she said it would be Muslim ire coming to a head, and that it would bring the U.S. into war with multiple countries, but that there would never be an event like that again. And I don't know if you guys remember, right around 9/11, we were all freaking out, like, was it safe to leave the house? Was there going to be a problem in Seattle? Was there going to be a problem in the Capitol? Was there going to be a problem in San Francisco? We just thought this was it, and we were going to be bombed all the time. And there hasn't been another 9/11. And so she was right about that. So, yeah. And I don't know. Trump always makes me think of, I think it was the fifth Dalai Lama. The fifth Dalai Lama. Have you guys heard about this guy?
No.
He was a drunk and a womanizer. After he gave his first big public speech, he peed on the audience, okay? Like, this was nothing like what a Dalai Lama was supposed to be. This guy broke every rule, you know, and he was disappeared fairly quickly. So, anyway, we live in interesting times. We live in interesting times. But my point being, there's now been many, many more Dalai Lamas, just like the U.S. will continue. We will have many more. We'll have many more presidencies and congresses and senators and all that fun stuff. So, but thank you, Morgana, for single-handedly saving democracy. And I just want to say, Devin, not to take sides or anything, but what happened today hasn't happened since 1812. Nobody has like overtaken the Capitol like that since the War of 1812. This is a huge anomaly. What happened today? So we are allowed to freak out just a little bit.
No. By the way, I'm not suggesting she shouldn't freak out.
Right.
The show goes on.
Yes.
And we have the conversation.
And the country does too.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, as my wife would attest, I mean, I tend to lean more conservative, but that conservative leaning has to do with concepts and ideas in terms of finances and social things. But that said, I think what happened today was horrendous and couldn't be more wrong. I do believe, however, with what we went through in 2020, and this is just an opinion, it's not based on anything, is that I think what we've gone through in the last year, I think we're going to come out on the other side of it in a much better way. So to some degree, this became necessary, which I think is tragic for those of us who had to go through.
Who had to die.
Right. Absolutely. Who had to go. Well, but for the people who had to live through that. Do you know what I mean?
And Devin lost
Oh my gosh.
Crazy, you know, number of
a ton of people that I love. There's you know, all I can do is sort of like in my own way, like I have to sort of like believe in the universe and I have to kind of be of love and service where I can.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all you can do. You know, I think I do believe that we honor those we love by leading a good life. And sometimes that gets hampered, but that doesn't mean we stop trying. And I think one of the ways that we do that is to recognize, and this is a very Baha'i faith kind of idea, is that we need to come together and that we don't forget that. And it's, you know, like sometimes we have to, even the folks that we're like, I can't disagree with you more, we still have to kind of reach down and kind of help pull them up wherever possible.
Right.
But it's, you know, sometimes that's challenging emotionally and physically and all that other stuff and spiritually. Yeah. This is stretched.
We really got to see in 2020 that we're one human family and that we're very interconnected and that we're not, you know, we're not separate and we can't cut off the rest of the world and not care, because what happens over there affects us over here and what happens over here affects them over there.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There, to me, there's always just a larger picture that we have to, like, yes, I'm having a feeling about a particular moment in time. And then there's these bigger pictures about what's going on and how do we work within that framework? And to me, it always comes back to sort of like love and service and tolerance. But that doesn't make it, you know, sometimes we're at our wit's end.
Yeah.
When the news about COVID was hitting in February of 2020, and I didn't know specifically, but I really had a sense of how bad it was going to be. You know, you can know it's different experiencing it, but I saw it coming. But I also saw on the other side of it what I've been calling, what I call the great rebuilding. I think on the other side of this, there's so much rebuilding to be done in our social contracts, so much unfinished business that there's finally this energy and this oomph to fix the things that have gone unfixed for too long. And I think the economy is going to really get big really fast because there's so much pent demand. So I think that there's some really, really beautiful things coming. And it seems to correspond with the timeline that you've given for things getting better as the year goes on. I think 2022 is going to be really beautiful.
From your mouth to you know whose ears. Yeah, I really hope so. I really hope so. Yeah, we shall see. More will be revealed. Yes.
In our last minute, really huge, I almost forgot to bring this up. So I have a calendar that I get every single year from Carol that has predictions for me personally every single day. What days are good for money? What days are good for love and relationship? What days are good for communication? What days are good to start a project? What days should I hide at home? And really, really clear little graphics with smiley faces and stars and symbols. And I don't schedule anything without checking the calendar first. One year I didn't. And it was disaster. So I will never make that mistake again.
So do we know how to get in touch with Carol?
Well, this is the thing is Carol is having a once in forever sale that I've never seen before. That
I've never had
for
it.
For the calendar. So that will be in the show notes.
Yeah, there's 68% off in honor.
So buy three for the price of one. Get 3 years. See what that's what I'm doing. You can find Carol at loveisinthestars.com, and the link to the sale will be in the show notes with the replay. Also, I'm going to send it. I'm going to email it to my private mailing list, and I'm going to post it all over social media because it's just I scheduled one retreat without checking first, and then when I looked back, it is like, oh, I will never make that mistake again. So loveisinthestars.com for all things Carol, retreats, products that we've already in the past show talked about the Right Man Report. Highly, highly recommend that. You can find Carol's prior show in, you know, if you look down our episodes. And this show, we are starting the year with a calendar because in crazy times like this, hedge your bets. Did you want to say anything, Carol?
Oh, just thank you so much. Yeah, you know, the calendars, I created them because in my own life, I have a week every month that's like in the crapper. And all the bad news happens that week. If I would try to like have a party or an interview or something important, it would never go well. So I started paying a lot of attention to that week. And then I started doing the same thing for clients. And then pretty soon I was making calendars out of stickers for people. And I was up till like 3 a.m. every night. And I was like, there was gotta be a better way. So I found some people to program it. And this is the 20th year, actually, that I've been selling the calendar. And it's the most popular thing I've ever come up with. I wish I could think of something as good.
And the sale is good until Inauguration Day, the 20th of January, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we need to wrap up. This is Crazy Sexy Midlife Love with a heavy emphasis on crazy right now.
And the sexy.
And the sexy.
You guys got it.
And we will see you again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, you guys. God bless everyone. Stay safe. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.